Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this May 25th, 2023. You have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And today, we are joined by our good friend, Kayla Romblowski.
Ooh, got it.
Oh, got it. It took me a second,
crazy
too.
Crazy Polish last names, I tell you.
It's a beautiful name. It really is. Oh, and Kayla is awesome. She is here with us today. Kayla, I want to remind the audience your title, what you do, where you are.
Yeah. So my title is Community Development Educator for Extension Wood County. Extension is the outreach organization for UW-Madison. So our goal in Extension is to bring the resources and the hub of knowledge that exists within the UW system out to local communities. Mm-hmm. So my role in community development is really to dive into those things that make a community great and the challenges that a community has. So in the past, James, when you and I have talked, we've talked about things like broadband, we've talked about things like housing, economic development, and I want to, for our conversation today, circle back around to childcare. So we had a conversation on childcare probably a few months ago at this point. And I have some updates and some new information to share.
I'm excited to dive into that. And I appreciate that, Kayla, because I know it sounds almost like, is this the first time James has talked to her? And I know, no. Kayla and I are good friends. We've talked for a while now. But I wanted to remind the audience of not only your what you do and why we cover a wide range, but also what Extension does. And I appreciate that. Thank you very much for playing along. You're a good improvist.
Oh, thank you.
So let's get into that, Kayla, because we do have a lot of information to go over today. We wanted to talk about Wood County Child Care Task Force, of course, but also some results from a recent survey.
Yeah.
Looking forward to hearing about that, too. You want to start with the task force?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
So as a refresher for those that may not be familiar with this work, the Wood County Child Care Task Force is an organization that formed in June of last year after a couple of individuals who were serving those in the community who were struggling to find childcare realized how much of an issue it was. So when I say serving those in the community, I mean the Wood County Health Department, a lot of nonprofits like United Way, Boys and Girls Club, the school district. At the elementary level, and then also from an employer standpoint, the school district was noticing challenges with childcare providers, a pediatrician, all of these different players that notice when people are struggling, parents are struggling to find childcare for their children and see the effects of it. So they really came together around this issue and said, you know, something has to be done for childcare access and affordability in Wood County. This is not an issue that is unique to Wood County. You know, this is happening across the state and across the nation. And we're hearing a lot about childcare, and we have been hearing a lot about childcare since the pandemic. But that child care task force got together and came up with a series of strategies that will make an impact, will make a dent in child care access and affordability in Wood County. So not a one-size-fits-all approach.
No.
In fact, I heard someone recently talk about the child care crisis, if you will, because it's so vast and so multifaceted as a balloon. And like, if you push on one side of the balloon, meaning like you're fixing one portion of the balloon pops out in another area.
Yeah.
So for example, you know, thinking about a lot of people's response to the child care crisis is like, oh, well, why don't we just open a new center? We have this vacant storefront that would be a perfect place for child care. We could open this new center. Well, okay, great. We're going to open this new center. It's going to cause more available slots to become open so that there's more access from a parent perspective. But there's also a huge workforce issue related to childcare. So you open this new center, where are you going to find the staffing? Most likely you're going to take staff from the existing right. child care centers that are already in our community, which then means that spots are going to close at those centers. So yeah. it's really this delicate sort of system balance.
I think this is true with a lot of things nowadays, but this is one of those topics. I always know if somebody's not informed by, oh, I have the solution and it's one thing.
Right.
Like, this is not a one thing solution.
Exactly.
This is going to take a couple of things. To go back to your beginning of this, talking about the different organizations and different people collecting data and sharing, that's so vital with this.
Yeah.
This is too big for any one organization or any one person or anything to try to accomplish. This is going to take society. It's going to take community members. It's going to take nonprofits. It's going to take businesses. It's going to take government, and all of us working together
right.
to fix this.
Right.
You brought up a word that I have heard very little in media about this, and I actually wish we would use it more when we're talking about this child care crisis. I don't like to throw words around. I don't like
yeah.
when people say war if they're not actually talking about a real war,
right.
things like
right.
that and everything. This, to me, and just speaking for myself, and that's why I don't throw the word around or I don't use it very often until it is nationally done that way, because
yeah.
I think we're getting there. But to me, this is a crisis, and it's been
right.
one. Almost going back to when I was in high school,
right.
it's been an issue, and it's been building and building. It's a little like that road you drive on that you can see falling apart, that you
yeah.
know eventually is going to
yeah.
need some work to be done on it.
Right, exactly.
So I feel like, okay, we're walking into this huge, huge topic that seems so big to conquer and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But right away, all right, I feel a little bit better about it because we're bringing data from all these different resources.
Yeah.
A lot of people coming together, putting their heads together in that. What else are we going with? Or what other stats have you come across or from this group?
Yeah, great question. So today's conversation, you know, this is such a vast issue, and we have, on behalf of the task force, sent out a couple of different surveys and gathered data really for three core groups related to this issue. So you have parents, you know, talking about the parent experience and what their experience has been trying to find childcare, trying to pay for childcare, those sorts of things. You have the provider experience. So those childcare administrators who are running centers and are dealing with all of the business side of running a childcare business, but because they're having such difficulties with workforce, often end up in the kitchen making meals or
right.
in the classrooms doing childcare themselves because they're having challenges with their staffing. So that's a whole another segment. And then there's the businesses. So the businesses in our community that are employing those parents of young children who are then trying to figure out how they work and have children. And so that's the piece that I wanted to focus on today. We sent mm-hmm. out recently an employer survey to Wood County employers, and we got some feedback. We've also been hosting employer roundtables with a couple of employers, both in
yeah.
Wisconsin Rapids and in Marshfield. And so we're hearing from businesses just how challenging it is for them.
I want to make sure that we can get into this and not have to interrupt you too much or anything. We got a couple of minutes before break. Let's focus on the survey and then come back and talk about the roundtable, if that works.
Yeah, that okay. sounds great. So what we're seeing both locally and across the state is that really since COVID, I think, has certainly exacerbated it. But employers are having challenges with retention and just with the day-to-day
yeah.
of working with employees who have young children. And not only young children that are not school-aged, obviously they need more care, but also young children that are school-aged and are not old enough to stay at home by themselves. You know, the idea of a snow day has sort of gone away
yeah.
for the most part since COVID and since finding out that students can do school online.
Mm-hmm.
Those snow days are now e-learning days, which is fine, but that means that someone needs to be home with that student. And
yeah.
most often, you know, you're expecting for individuals that have a work environment where they're able to work from home, you're expecting them to work from home and also be home and be teacher to their their child. And those things are just really challenging.
Asking a lot.
Yeah. So the survey, so there was a statewide survey that was sent out and then a local survey. The state survey, which I'll start with, said that 58% of participants, so these were employers, said that COVID-19 had decreased their employees' access to quality childcare. And they reported lack of access to childcare over the last 12 months contributed to, and I'm just going to list off a number of things. Mm-hmm. Employees changing or reducing hours, difficulty hiring new employees, employees taking more paid leave, taking more unpaid leave, leaving the workforce entirely, either temporarily or permanently, working remotely, lost revenue due to staffing shortages. Mm. So it's not just a people issue, right? Mm-hmm. It's a money issue. Employees changing roles for greater flexibility. So employees changing roles. Mm-hmm. So perhaps employees that are at a higher skill level taking a lower skill level position because it offers more flexibility. And then reduced hours or business closures due to staffing shortages. And we've seen this, right? We've seen, a reduction in hours. I think about even Marshfield Clinic. I had just called one of the departments at the clinic, and they said, due to staff shortages, we're now only open from X to Z, and right. It's like 11 to 1, and yeah. Then like 2 to 4.
These weird times within those random
within
parts
those
of the
timelines.
Day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this is really, and that is a statewide survey, but certainly was echoed in the local survey, which we can talk about more after the break. But it just gets to the heart of
really
this challenge.
And you put all that together, and you touched on it already, the economic impact this makes, which affects all of us, whether you have kids or not, whether you have grown kids or not, you are affected economically by this. All of that together feels like a crisis. Feels like something we ought to be taking pretty seriously here.
Right.
And thank goodness we have a lot of people like yourself and the organization and the group you just talked about doing that and everything. And we're certainly talking about it every chance we get around here. We'll take a quick commercial break, come back with more with Kayla on Morning Magazine here at WFHR.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Magazine.
Morning Magazine with sitting back with Kayla Romblowski with the UW Extension. Every time I get it right, Kayla, I'm going to take a little like fist bump in my
right.
head. I apologize, but thank you.
I'm air in my head. I'm air fist bump.
Yes, I love that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about childcare mainly today, and you recently had a survey that went out, and we're kind of coming back with that.
Yes. Yeah. So before the break, I was sharing just how much of a challenge the lack of access and affordability of childcare is for employers in the area. And I wanted to, now that we're back, start the conversation off again with some of those local statistics. So a survey that was sent out of businesses in Wood County. So this is right here, Marshfield and Rapids. These answers are 56% of respondents said childcare is a current concern, and it relates to recruiting and or retaining employees for their business.
Over half.
And on top of that, a small percentage, about 17%, said that they were unsure. So perhaps the person who was filling out the survey didn't really have knowledge of that. But more than half have said, yes, this is an issue, and have followed up with comments such as employees either cannot take the job due to our hours versus daycare hours, or they have poor attendance due to daycare issues. We have employees in need of childcare and who can't find it. And then others say nowhere to take the kids if they're sick or if school is canceled. The cost of childcare is too high for people to justify accepting or staying in a position. Staff can only work certain hours because they do not have childcare. So that is something we've seen. We saw in the responses to this survey, and then we also have just recently held employer roundtables in person with a select number, about 15 businesses from Southwood and about 15 businesses from Northwood, and they really echoed this. We had we had folks say, you know, that they have employees. One business mentioned that they have an employee who recently had a child within the last year and is still trying to figure out childcare and work out these unique scheduling situations mm-hmm. where, like, a family member will watch the child on this day and someone else will watch the child on this day and I'll work late so that I can watch the child yeah. in the morning on this day. Because the waiting lists within Wood County are so extensive for childcare availability that person just can't, you know, they have it. So this affordability and access piece goes hand in hand, but often for families, you may have enough money to pay for it. Like, yes, it's expensive, but I will give you the money to, you know, provide the care for my child, but I can't get into a facility. I can't get into a spot right. because there's just no openings. So that's a challenge for employers. And then we also had an employer at one of these events say something that I thought was interesting, that is one of their very long-term employees, someone who's very well-respected at the company and you know, one of those people that kind of makes the yeah. company go, yeah. Just became a grandma. And she is now leaving early, like not, yeah. she's not ready for retirement yet, but she's choosing to leave early because her children are having, her child and in-law are having such difficulty trying to find childcare for their child, you know, this woman's grandbaby. And so she's leaving to care for the child.
Wow.
And
yeah. Kayla, that's shocking, but it's also surprising. I didn't know you knew my mom, because my mother just recently did this.
Oh, sure.
She didn't retire early, I wouldn't say. She retired about on time, but she was going to, anybody that knew her knew she was going to keep working.
Right.
You know, not just retire when she could retire. She liked working. She loved working at the library over here at McMillan and everything.
Yeah.
But my sister, my brother have both been in need. My kids are in their 20s. They're fine.
Yeah.
But with my brother and sister, it's been more of a concern, and especially my sister in Madison. So she has been more of like, well, I could be a babysitter. I can,
right.
You know, not really a babysitter. She didn't call herself that, but spend more time not only with her, you know, grandchildren, but because my sister and brother could use it as well.
Yeah.
That has been a big concern. And my brother is in Oshkosh, in the Oshkosh okay. area. My sister in Madison, both with the same issue.
Yeah.
Most of our central Wisconsin listeners right now are nodding their head to 99% of what you're saying because they also understand it.
Right.
So I feel like it's pretty safe to say this is an issue up and down the state.
Yeah.
We see the national stories about this and
right.
all of that. But yet, with all of those things on the table and everything that's to consider with this subject, which whether you are informed on it or not, I would think you understand this affects everything about a person's job. Like if I'm worried about childcare, I ain't going to be able to do my job.
Right.
As
right.
Kayla broke down for you how this affects employers and mm-hmm. how much the concerns and the things that they see. Every single part of the job is affected by this.
Yeah.
There is the economic impact, which we haven't really even dived into too much. But if we don't have enough workers, we don't have enough people in the workforce.
Right.
And a lot of the focus has been on, pay and making sure that employees are getting paid enough and everything, minimum wage and that. I think that is a part of this, but I don't actually think it's the biggest part of this. I truly think that the biggest issue facing employment right now and businesses finding employees is childcare. Especially coming out of the pandemic, where we saw that 100% of this affected single moms.
Right.
Like, nobody was affected more during the pandemic than
right.
this than single mothers.
Yeah.
Not single fathers, single mothers mm-hmm. Were affected the most. Like, and even people that came from a double job home where both you know, their partner was working or whatever.
Right.
Women were the ones that had to give up their job to stay at home with
yeah.
the kids.
Yep.
We're still making up for that. Let alone the fact that we came into the pandemic with
yeah.
child care is an issue. It's not as if this just showed up. Oh, child care is here. Oh, that's an issue. No, it's like I touched on earlier on. It's been an issue since
exactly.
I was back in high school. All
yeah.
those years ago. I don't want to eat myself too much, but yeah,
yeah.
since the late 90s, we'll
right.
say. It has been a problem.
And so this is maybe a pet peeve of mine, because this childcare issue is really personal for me, because as you know, James, I have two very young children.
Two awesome young children.
Oh, thank you. And oftentimes people will say things, people who maybe don't understand this issue in full will say things like, well, kids should just stay at home with their parents. Like, they just need to stay at home with their mom. That's what we did when we were growing up. But you look at the cost of living and the changes in the cost of living. Okay, well, it used to be that perhaps one, you know, if you want to use the stereotype, the male's breadwinning income could cover a family of three, mm-hmm. or a family of four, or a family of five. No, that's not the case now. No. With the cost of living and the cost of you know, the different budget categories, you know, your housing, right. your utilities, all of those things, you're lucky if two people's income can cover yeah. those same costs. So it's not just as simple as, oh, well, yeah, I'll stay home.
People romanticize the past all the time. Right. And this is one of the biggest ones about America in the 50s and the idea of what it was. First, talk about two Americas. Might have been fine for a certain group of people during the 50s, but there's quite a few people in the 50s that don't look at that as a romantic era or anything
exactly.
like that.
Exactly, yep.
But we had this idea of the 2.5 kids and the white picket fence and all these mm-hmm. things, and even our generations are dealing with that, and that was never the case. There was never... That may have been a dream, but it wasn't guaranteed. It wasn't something that is in the Bill of Rights or something. This takes work. It's going to take a lot of us figuring this out together. So with the last 2 minutes we have, Kayla, let's go ahead and solve this. No, I'm joking.
I wish. I have one example.
I was trying to set you up for this.
Yep, thank you so much. So one example of something that a local employer is doing is they've decided, so it's a local trucking company. I won't name names, but you could probably figure it out.
Yeah, and they advertise with us a little bit, and we're fans of theirs.
There we go. Yeah. They have really looked at this from, you know, an impact on their employees, and have chosen as a business to make an investment and to start a childcare center within their business for their employees. They're calling it Tiny Truckers, which I think is just awesome.
Perfect.
And they're looking at this from a perspective of workforce retention and attraction. You know, this is a way that they can offer childcare as a benefit to their employees. Now, not every company has the ability to do this. They have the space, they have, you know, the stars sort of aligned, and they have the right things in place, but it really is an intentional choice on their behalf. You know, they're probably taking a hit without looking at their finances. They're choosing to invest in this, knowing that it's something that will pay off in the long run, and also knowing that it's good for their employees. And I think that's just huge.
Some years ago when I first started doing this, I was talking with Terry Johns from the United Way, and I realized in a lot of what she was saying, oh, this isn't donations. This is an investment. So I started calling it investments instead. And I'm really glad you're using that terminology here with this, because this is what they're doing. They're investing in not only their employees, they're investing in America. They're investing in this world, in our society and all that. And I really look forward to seeing more companies doing things like this. I don't think they'll be the only ones, out of necessity or out of human heart or whatever the case may be. I don't care. It'll just be good to have some more of this happening. And here is hoping that along with that, government, society can catch up to those companies because they're the ones that are on the ground level understanding what's being affected. Kayla touched on that with the survey and with some of the stats we got from that. So it's great to see. Always great to see you. Always great to have you in with us. Thanks so much for the time, Kayla.
Thank you.
Looking forward to
it. Really appreciate Kayla being with us today. And a big thank you to Kayla Rombalski from the UW-Madison Extension for joining us. And, of course, a big thank you to Dawn DeSorcy for joining us from the City of Wisconsin Rapids Parks and Recs Department. Great conversations with both of them today. And we will wrap up Morning Magazine tomorrow with our guests in part one from the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin, Peggy Kurth, Coulter Coordinator educator will be with us. And in part two, Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools Superintendent Craig Broren. Craig's going to bring in some friends. Technology-wise, we'll have Phil with us. Food service-wise, we'll have Lizzie with us. And looking forward to that. Going to be a great way to wrap up the week of Morning Magazine. Quick programming notes. Wanted to let you remind you, I should say, that on our sister station, Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI, check out Seth's new show, Trail Tunes, from 7 to 8 tonight. It's on every Thursday. You can check that out. Be sure to take that in. And, of course, support us by streaming us. Stream us 24-7. You can do that right at civicmedia.us, or you can go to WFHR.com. Of course, don't forget that you can catch all of our podcasts right there as well. You never have a reason to miss anything. And Rafter Baseball around the corner, you're going to want to be able to take us with you everywhere you want. We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. We will talk to you soon and later right here at, well, I like how Steph says this.
1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.